thank you, Lord, that my spirit is opened up now as I hear, I speak. As you inspire me, I speak, Lord, I'm empty. Fill me. Flow into me and flow through me today. And flow to every one of us. Water us. And let your name be glorified as we hear and do what we hear. To the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Please turn your Bibles with me to Esther and chapter 4. I am inspired by the name of your wife today. I saw Esther, your wife, for the first time last Sunday after a long time. Esther has been on maternity leave. Please celebrate Esther with me. That's Esther there. Esther, me, Roman, now Esther firstborn. The only wife of Franklin firstborn. So Esther chapter 4, I will read from verse 11 to verse 16. Esther and chapter 4, verse 11 to 16. I woke up this morning, and please pray for me as I'm standing here. Just pray for me that I will just speak what I'm hearing. Amen. Just pray for me constantly. I woke up this morning and I had to do something I learned from Jesus. And of course, meditate, listen to what God the Father is saying. I listened. And all I heard was this: what if I fail? So I'll be speaking to us on, if you want to give it a title, what if I fail? What if I fail? As the theme we've been following this month, like you know, it's a word that has gone ahead of time into this month of September, but not just September, but it's actually a word that should carry us every time we can remember. Overcoming the fear of failure is our theme for this month, and we've been having prayer meetings every day, 12 noon, every day, 6 p.m., centered around this word God gave us. And it's about overcoming. So it's not really something to start creating panic, because when you start talking about a topic, if we're not careful, we can focus on the negative, especially that word failure. But let's focus on the overcoming. So overcoming the fear of failure. And in Esther chapter 4, from verse 11 to 16, I'll read it and just share one or two things laid on my heart. So from verse 11, Esther chapter 4, Esther and chapter 4, verse 11, from the New King James Version of the Bible. The Bible says, all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that any man or woman who goes into the inner court to the king who has not been called, he has but one law: put all to death, except the one to whom the king holds down the golden scepter that he may live. Yet I myself have not been called to go into the king these 30 days. So they told Mordecai Esther's words. Now, let's give a little bit of background before we read on. At this time, Esther was sending word back to his uncle Mordecai. They were both Jews, but they were in captivity. And while they were in captivity, you know, that's the Jews were in captivity. Because of their captivity, you know, their captors and the king could do and undo. You know, when you're a captor, you're a slave, when you're a captive or a slave, your captor can do whatever they like with you. You are their mercy. But then somehow, this young girl called Esther, somebody tried to put it in modern day terms. She had won a beauty contest. You know, because some years ago, somebody used that as a scripture, as a confirmation that they can go and be contesting beauty pageants. But that's not where we're going. I'm not interested in arguments. But she had just won, out of all the maidens, the one that won the heart of the king to be the next queen, sort of. So she was chosen among many other ladies. Let me chip this in by the Spirit of God. She wasn't chosen for exposing her nakedness. She wasn't chosen for dressing outrageously. Holy Spirit, help me today. I don't want to divert too much. But you see, let me tell us something about royalty. If you are indeed the son or the daughter of a king, and I'm talking of the King of Kings, that will even guide the way you dress, the way you talk, the way you present yourself, the way you carry yourself. I was telling somebody recently, if you want to understand what worship is, let's look at the positive side. Just look at what is happening right now in Westminster Hall. That is worship. People are queuing 24 hours, 26 hours, 14 hours, reduced 16, back and forth, in the rain, in the cold, under whatever weather it is. And people are even coming with their families, with young children. I saw some people pushing prams. They stay overnight, vigil, lined up, walking slowly, until it gets to their turn to line past the coffin of the Queen of England that just passed away. That is worship. If you want to understand what worship is. I'm not trying to be funny. But if they tell the whole world that Jesus is standing in the Westminster Hall, I am not sure there will be such a queue. But I stand to be corrected. But I'm just letting us see what will make people do that. Is because of the worth they have given to the queen. Worship is from the word worth, ship. The worth you give to someone or something will determine how you will relate, how you behave around that thing or that person. Even in her lifetime, people, I don't think people queued like that to see her. But that's by the way. I just want us to understand worship, and let's understand that we're dealing here with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. If human beings can give such honor to a mortal, what honor are you and I giving to the immortal, the invisible, the only wise God, the only King potentate? That's something for us to hold on. Now, this king was so powerful that the king, nobody just enters into the chamber of the king to go and meet the king. I'm talking of the king in Esther's time. If you dare enter the king's chamber without an invitation, it's a death penalty that you just stray. You stray into the king's chamber without the king inviting you. But then there is a little caveat. If you stray into the king's chamber without invitation, and the king should hold out his scepter of authority and receive you, then you are safe. Then you are not dead. You will be saved. But that was the rule. That was the law. Mordecai was Esther's uncle, and Mordecai was telling his niece, Esther, go into the king's chamber and go and talk to the king, because our people, your people, the Jews, there's been an edict that all of them are going to be killed, wiped off, just because of one man who hates us. So Esther was telling his uncle, it's not like that in the kingdom. I can't just go. I can't. So this was a back and forth conversation. So she was sending this message back to her uncle. I can't go into the inner court because the king has not called me. If I go in there, I'm dead. So come with me with that background, verse 12. So they told Mordecai, Esther chapter 4, verse 12, Esther's words. Verse 13. This is back and forth conversation between uncle and niece, who's now a queen. And Mordecai told them to answer Esther, do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace anymore, more than all the other Jews. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet, who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Let's go back to Esther. Verse 15. Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai. Go. Verse 16. Gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise, and so I will go to the king, which is, look at this, against the law. This is powerful. Please, this is not also a license to break the law. Because at times we take scriptures and we use it to do things. She was doing this, and I will explain and tie it in with the New Testament, where the Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit. The Bible talks about being led by the Spirit. The Bible says, anyone who's been led by the Spirit, I'm paraphrasing. You said it. Please echo it. Is not subject to the law. Why? Because being led by the Spirit is a higher law. But please note that word, being led by the Spirit. If you are led by the Spirit, you are operating in a higher law. And laws are laws. You know, lawyers will tell you, you have different kind of courts. You know, I know a magistrate in this house, but I'm not going to mention her name. You know in Kem, don't you? Okay, so that's a court. She's a magistrate. If she sentences you for misbehavior, you can appeal. You appeal to a higher court, more than her own court, where she holds jurisdiction. And if they still uphold what she's saying, you can appeal and appeal until you get to a Supreme Court. But then, do you know there's even something higher than the Supreme Court of the country? There's the, whatever they call it. Anyway, I'm stepping into a terrain that I'm not led into now. Let me come back. Anyway, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. But then, are you led by the Spirit? Okay, make sure you are led by the Spirit. Anyway, so she said, look at this fantastic statement. My maids and I will fast likewise. So I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. In other words, if I fail, I fail. So, back to our question. What if I fail? Now, every one of us, I'm sure if you have lived at least 1 year in your life, 1 year is even too long. You've existed for 6 months. Okay, let's say 8. You have failed at one thing or the other. In fact, you started failing from when you were less than a year. You tried to walk and you failed. You failed. You sat down. You fell down on your, you know, I don't know what, I don't know if it's the right word to use on the altar. But you fell down and something hit the floor. You failed. But guess what? You stood up again. You attempted again. You failed. I mean, no, I didn't see turn one yesterday. And I've been watching the trajectory of his growth. Standing up and falling. Taking one step and falling. Listen, we have all failed. This is not a prophecy. This is absolutely not a prophecy. And guess what? Failure is part of life. And there is the potential and tendency for us to attempt things in our lifetime and still fail. Life is not 100% success proof. My daddy, our grandpa is there. I sat down with him. Daddy is in his 80s. And daddy, I honor you. I'm always encouraged when I see you, daddy, at the gate. Sat down with him. Shared the story of his lifetime. Sat down, shared the businesses he started, the things he did, how he brought up, you know, his children, and also, you know, daddy's the father of Dr. Eben Patrick, the husband of my GP there, with gray hair and white beard. Even though I'm older than him. Are you contesting? Just joking. He shared some stories of the things he did. Success here, failure there. I was so encouraged. That's an elder. They will tell you life is not 100% success proof. We will still do things and we will fail. The question is, what if I fail? Now, as I was meditating, some things were coming to me, and I, in form of a question to throw to us, and also answers in our hearts. That what if I fail? Some of us are going through those motions right now. There's something you're about to do or contemplating, maybe I shouldn't. And the question is, what if it doesn't succeed? What if I fail? What if it doesn't work out? What if I get married and the marriage doesn't work? What if this happens? What if? And what if? And what if? Listen, there are many reasons why we always have this at the back of our minds. What if I fail? You see, one of the ones I was meditating when I went into the shower. Do you know why some of us always have that at the back of our mind? What if I fail? Because we have been built up with a negative mindset. Our default mindset is failure. So we just believe anything we do, we will fail. I've had people say, what if I look at every other person, they succeed, but when it comes to my turn, I fail. What everybody does easily, I fail. I met a young man many years ago. He was scavenging. You know, he was in this refuse dump where people dump you know, used things, food, what not. And it was scavenging. I've been watching this guy for quite a while. So I had to go and talk to him. Young man, handsome boy, fine boy. I said, why are you scavenging? Why are you're always coming to this rubbish place to pick up things, you know, and he was in a bit of an affluent area. Definitely it's not in the UK, but I'm telling you, it happens in the UK also. You only need to know how people actually suffer. Because people just think, yeah, you just come to the UK and you pick things from the, you pick gold on the streets. There are people suffering. I am telling you. So this young man was scavenging. So that was his lifestyle. And I asked him, do you know what he told me? He said, this is my destiny in life. To be living off other people's reject, dustbin. That was his mindset. His mind has been set to believe he can never amount to anything in life. This word is coming to us. Yours may not be to that extreme, but there are some mindsets, and the word of God is coming today to reset our minds, not to reboot. Let me tell you, rebooting and resetting are two different things. When you switch off your laptop and you switch it on, it will reboot. And all the virus and everything will reboot back with it. But when it's reset, everything you've loaded down that has caused trouble will be wiped off, and it goes back to the manufacturer's setting. That's what the word of God is doing. It's not to reboot us. It's to reset our minds. You know, the Bible talks about the word coming, arresting, pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, the word of God. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God will be brought down into captivity. And then there's a caveat. So God is now ready to revenge. Avenge our disobedience when our own obedience is complete. Let's not just hear the word of God. As we're hearing today, please be noting the things you will start doing. Do you know what repentance is? Let me give you a practical example. Last week, when we were doing the Wellness Sunday, and you started talking that one day you ate some things, and as you were eating, you felt funny after some days. You sat back. What have I been eating? And then you said you found out you've been eating rice. And rice, jollof rice, fried rice, mashed rice, shish kebab rice, everything rice. And you are feeling funny. And then you said, you changed what you are eating and started eating something different and you felt better. You had a change of mind. It reset you and you stopped eating rice for days. When you were ministering, because that's what you were doing, I was receiving and my mind reset. So when we went, and you know, please celebrate all the doctors in the house for us. Please celebrate the doctors for what they did last week. Thank you, Dr. Shane, for leading the team. They went and they were checking whatever they called it, BMI or GMI or... you know, they put something on my hand, squeeze my hand and check the blood pressure. And then, you know, Dr. Solomon told me to stand somewhere. I stand, took my height, took my weight, was scribbling something, gave me, and then gave me my report card. What's the meaning of this? And I thank Dr. Jide too, because he sat down with me and he counseled me. Will you counsel me and you comfort me? Na 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 na. Jesus, guide my. I love that song. You counsel me, you comfort me. So Dr. Jide counseled me, because when he took my blood pressure, it was a bit high. Yeah. So I told him, I'm not surprised. I said, I've not been sleeping well. So he was talking to me about stress. By the time he finished talking to me, he said, let's do the blood pressure again. He checked it, and my blood pressure was normal. He spoke the word, and the word healed me. And he told me how to maintain my blood pressure. We examined my lifestyle and he told me how to sleep. He told me to stop doing some things. I heard those words you spoke. They spoke. And I repented. I changed my mind. So I went to check what I've been eating. And I saw what I've been eating. 3 packs of cracker biscuits every day in between meals. And something will not be wrong with your BMI. You are joking. So I repented. So I told my family, please watch me. From today, no more cracker biscuits. I'm not preaching against cracker biscuits, lest those people sue me now that I spoiled their advert. But mine was extreme. I'm just trying to teach us what repentance is. I had to change my mindset. And I checked my weight after 1 week. And I lost, I told you yesterday. Oh, it wasn't you I was telling. I lost 1 kilogram between last Sunday and now. No, don't clap for me because I've not hit my BMI target yet. What am I saying? We hear the word, we can celebrate, but if you don't put it to practice, you won't get results. Mindset is why some of us, what if I fail? Another thing, especially we ask ourselves that question, what if I fail, especially when we're about to do something we've never done before. A new venture. Ah, what if I fail? When we are in an unfamiliar territory, what if I fail? When we feel that, oh, I've not prepared enough. I feel so inadequate. What if I fail? When you have failed before and you keep on failing, are the same thing. You've done driving tests. You failed. You went again. You failed. You went again. You failed. The next time you want to go, what if I failed? Your mind is already getting a default setting called failure. I had a friend, a medical doctor. He said he did driving test 5 times and failed 5 times. So he said the 5th time he was driving, and then he was now an expert in checking the driving examiner. You know the way the examiners have been tuned, they will let you drive for how many minutes? 35 minutes? Is it 35? Please, where are those people who have failed before? 35, 40 minutes. Yeah, that's the standard. They will let you drive for 40 minutes. But guess what? Maybe you failed 35 minutes ago. But they will still let you drive because it's your statutory right to drive. And for them to fail you when you fail. So he had become an expert. Because all the 5 times he was failing, they would tell him when he failed. And he noticed that, I failed just before we left the test center and you didn't stop me. You let me drive. So he said the 6th time, the 5th time, they were going. So he was looking as he was driving. Turn, 2nd roundabout, take the right turn, we will go. Take the right turn, we will look. So he said he noticed at the point, the guy had marked the sheet, dangerous fault. And once they mark that sheet, dangerous fault, there's no remedy. Pray, fast, bind, loose, plead the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus will not speak. I'm telling you. So he saw the guy put dangerous fault. So they now got the guy to smell at him. Okay, when we get there, just park and do a 3-point turn. That is, you know, the 3-point turn where you turn back. You turn the car, 1, 2. And 3, on the 3rd turn, you must have done a U-turn. So he got there, and he saw he has put dangerous fault. Can you do 3-pointer? He said, my friend, what 3-pointer? My friend, get out. Get out. What 3-pointer? Let's go back to the test center, my friend. But where am I going? Because he had failed many times, unconsciously, his mind has been set to fail. What if I fail? So why was he constantly checking the examiner? What if I have failed? I am praying the word of God will come to us today and reset us from what if I fail. Two, what if I don't fail? What if I don't fail? This is Esther. And do you know why some of us also have that battle with that? Our upbringing. You grew up in a negative environment, your exposure. Everybody in your house has failed. Nobody in your house has ever gone through senior school. And the person who even attempted, they tried to go to college, they were kicked out of college. Unconsciously, it gets to your turn. What if I failed? What if I fail? You know, Dr. BC was sharing with us was it yesterday during the prayer altar at 12 noon? She entered university, medical school, and a senior in this medical school told her, there's an exam. Everybody was even drumming to her, singing, giving her a confession to confess unconsciously. There's an exam you will write in the second year. It's a serious exam. People fail it. If you fail it, that's it. That's the end of it. They put it in her head. So she said, well, she made up her mind, to start studying 2 years ahead. 2 years ahead for that exam. And when 2 years came up, she said, the person you were even living with had failed. So you keep on hearing that. And then the second year, you want to write an exam. You freaked out, didn't you? Faith comes by hearing, so does fear. What you keep on hearing, that's why we need to start hearing the word of God. Just tune your mind and tune off those negative channels that you listen to. And start listening to the word of God that will reset your mind. Bible says, Jesus said it, if you continue my words, you are my disciples indeed, you will know the truth. And the truth will make you free. Intentionally, deliberately, what are the things you've been failing at? Please go find out the truth about them. Look at Esther. She said, if I fail, I fail. But then, I was wondering, what was her motivation? And I will close with this. Next week, if God gives us the opportunity, we'll go to the second part two of this. What if I fail? What gave Esther the motivation, the confidence to break the law? So to speak, to attempt what will literally cut off her life. What helped Esther to overcome? What if I perish? Number one, her uncle and mentor, Mordecai. She was brought up by that uncle called Mordecai. A father figure in her life. Listen, people. There's something called honor. And when you see honor, it's tied to fathers and mothers. The Bible says there's one commandment with a promise. In fact, two promises. Honor your father and mother that it may be well with you. And you may live long. Who are the father figures in your life? that you listen to, encourage you, speak positive words in into your life. Please. I know this is a sensitive area. Some of us, maybe our fathers, biological fathers, never gave us that. But excuse me. That is why God will put you in a church family. And I'm not trying to vaunt anything. Personally, this is what has helped me to be a pastor. I looked at my life. I looked at my wife. And I looked at my children. And I always ask myself, anytime I'm relating with anybody who's a church member, how would I want my Noah or Joshua to be treated? How do I want my wife, Wura, to be treated? If she's in this kind of situation, what will I want someone to say to her that will help her set them free? Nothing but the Word of God. You can't go wrong with the Word of God. I stick to that. And that's why constantly, personally, I must keep hearing the Word of God. So that if I'm going to open my mouth, I'm telling you the Word of God and nothing else, not my own opinion. Somebody came to me for, you know, this person's always coming to me for counseling. And then one day she came, as usual. Pastor, I want to tell you something again. This happened, this happened. I know what you will say. I know you start quoting the Bible. I says, if you know I will quote the Bible, then why are you coming to me? Because I will quote the Bible. You know what? I actually told the person, stop coming to me. Go and read the Bible yourself. Go and read the Bible and hear what God has to say about every situation. And stop coming to me. Stop using me as a springboard. You already made up your mind what you will do. You know I will tell you the Bible. And the Bible I'm telling you won't do it. Why are you coming back? All right, I need to close. Our uncle, father figure. Please look for father figures. Mentors. People who will guide you. People who have gone ahead of you. I'm realizing even my own limitation as a biological father to my own sons. I point them to people. Go and talk to this person. This is beyond me. Go and talk to that person. Try that person. You know, the other day, you know, Noah was doing some things and we were trying to, you know, write his, set some things he should be charging when he does this job. And we realized, I told him I'll be his, what's that thing? I'll be his agent, his manager. He said, no, he had warned me, Daddy, you can't be my manager here. He said, no, you don't know anything. Who born you? Am I not your father? Anyway, we tried and we realized that we have been cutting him short. So he has sacked me now as his manager. And he's talking to the people who can guide him better. His uncle. Secondly, our king's people. Look at what she said. Gather the Jews. Let them fast and pray for me. Are you in a community where you have people who will pray with you? Don't isolate yourself if you're in a church family, please. I know some of us have gone, we've had all sorts of interesting stories about church and whatever. And I see that a lot, sadly. But please, we are Love Assembly. And I say that with every authority, deference. We are here to serve, to love, to guide, to support. Whoever it is, that is what we stand for. For as long as I have my own breath in me, and I'm still the pastor here, nobody here goes hungry, nobody here goes naked. Anything we can do, we are here for one another. That's our default mode and that's our mindset. We don't do politics here. We don't fight. I tell people, we don't strive here. If you want to fight, please, there's a O2 arena there. Go and set up a boxing. We don't fight here. You need counsel, we'll give it to you. You want to fight, we'll kick you out. Yeah, Bible says cast out this corner. And strife and dissension will cease. Support prayers of our own king's people. And then look at the third thing. She said, I and my maids. Who are the people in your inner caucus? The people around. Who are you hanging around? Who are the people that, yes, they see your nakedness, you see their nakedness. You can be open to. And then finally, our own inner resolve. She made up her mind. What if I fail? Come on. If I fail, I fail. I am not afraid to fail. Please, people, tell yourself, I am not afraid to fail. But please ask yourself these questions as we pray now. Who? Have you got like father figures in your life? Have you got a family around you that can pray with you? That's the beauty of church. We pray. We don't gossip here. We pray for one another. We are there holding hands. We set up a prayer altar. 12 noon every single day, you can always join the prayer altar. 6 p.m. every single day, we pray. We don't have time for frivolities, please, people. Here to support one another. Who are your inner caucus? Do you have a different set of human beings you hang around? On Sunday, you are holy, you are around church people, and then during the week, you are hanging about around people who will kill your faith. And finally, please resolve, make that decision. Repent today. I am not afraid of failure. Thank you, Lord. Please, let's talk to the Lord. She said, but let me tell you, the first father figure you should have in your life is the one Jesus introduced. He brought what everybody knew as the source of all life and intelligence, the Creator, God. He brought a new understanding. He introduced God to mankind as our Father. Father is your father, is my father. That's a father figure. The father to the fatherless, to the husband to the widow, the father to orphans. Jesus said, even I will not leave you comfortless. I will give you another comforter. That name, that word, comfortless, I will not leave you as orphans. You will always have the comforter, the father, the spirit of the father around you. Lord, help me. Please make up your mind. I'm not afraid of failure. If I perish, I perish. If I fail, I fail. And then you know the rest of the story. Esther didn't fail. Please talk to the Lord right now. You can make God your father. That's just where I'm going today. If he's not your father, Lord, I want to know you. Lord, I want to know you. I want to know you. Our father, my father, my father. Lord, I pray, Heavenly Father, I pray you reveal yourself. Please, if you are asking, I want to know you, God, the Creator, as my Father. I just don't want to know. Look, you can know him as Creator. You can know him as the Maker, but do you know him as your Father? Do you have a relationship? You can have. Jesus said, as many as received, the Bible says, as many as received him, he gave them the power to become relationship. Sons, the daughters of God. Can you receive this word today? Can you receive Jesus today? Can you ask him, Lord, I receive you as my Father, as my Father, as my Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. My Father, my Father, my Father. I cry to you, my Father.